Thanks for joining us for this message from Awaken Church. We believe in the power of God's Word, and we pray that you're encouraged by this message. Now lean in as we hear from God's Word together.
This morning's message is going to be a simple text. A lot of times my texts are very meaty, very difficult to try and figure out, okay, what am I supposed to tell the church today? But this one's very simple. The story, the back set is Jesus and his disciples have been serving and doing ministry. Jesus wakes up early, goes out and spends some time with the Lord. Simon and the disciples are looking for him. Jesus, where are you? We can't find you. The people need you over here. And he starts to set the picture of what we're going to be looking at. So today, really, if I could just say the next couple of minutes and then walk off the stage, I'd be done with this simple idea. Spend time with the Lord. Spend private, quiet time with God. And in that quiet time, you're going to see what your purpose is in life. So again, if you got your Bibles, let's open to Mark chapter 1. We're going to pick up at verse 35. Work our way to verse 39. I'm going to read it through and then go chop it up as we go through. So Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. God, thank you for this word this morning. I just pray, God, in the next few minutes, Lord, that you would be glorified. You'd be lifted high, Lord. You'd be able to speak to our hearts and our minds, that we'd be able to understand maybe something maybe we didn't think about before. Maybe you'd move something in our lives that we could just focus on what your plan is for us, God. And I'm praying, Lord, this morning, I'm praying this service specifically that maybe something would be said in here to a future pastor, to someone who's going to lead the flock one day. And I just pray that these words would not be taken lightly. They'd be understood as authoritative, and they'd be understood as something that we need to live by and just follow you. God, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the little people's voices that I'm hearing. I pray that you bless them as much as you bless the older voices. God, you are good, and you are in this place. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, this morning, the main focus is basically your quiet time with God and then you knowing what your purpose is in God and in Christ and how this all fits together. They very much go hand in hand. The quiet time that we spend with Jesus versus our understanding of what our purpose is with Jesus. So we're going to look back at the verses. I read through them pretty quickly, but I'm going to chop them up here for a few minutes. And then if you guys are lucky, like last service, I was done 20 minutes early. So at the 20 minute mark, I said, man, I'm out. We'll see where we go today. These messages either go long or short for me. So it's a great day. God is good. So let's look at verse 35. It says this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Your translation may say a deserted place. I know Pastor Nate put a graphic up here a couple weeks ago to show you what that would look like. So the importance of this is just understanding when we're getting into scripture like this, when you have a word like now or therefore or wherefore, it's pointing towards whatever has already happened. And if you're here last week, Pastor Nate gave me an alley-oop and set me up good because he really discussed last week, the day before what I'm talking about now. So most scholars and theologians believe between Mark chapter 1, verse 1 and Mark chapter 1, verse 35, where we're at today, was about a 6 to 10 week time period. But the part I'm focusing on really is yesterday. What happened yesterday? So we see here that in the book of Mark, Jesus is, he's baptized. I didn't try to say that like Napoleon Dynamite or Nacho Libre, but he's baptized, he's tempted, he begins his ministry, he calls his first disciples, he teaches, he casts out demons, he heals the sick, And if you look at verse 32, he did a lot of that after the sun went down. Very busy ministry. This time period could have been one of the most busiest times of his life, at least up until this point. I'm sure it gets busier as he serves. But he's doing all these things. And Pastor Nate knocked it out last week. He taught a very good message about what that day was like. And the fact that he healed all these people after the sun went down is pretty impressive as well. But when we see in verse 35, now, that means after all of those things I just said, after those things, now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. That time frame was most likely between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. So somewhere around 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning, Jesus wakes up and he departs out to a quiet, solitary place. And what does he do? He prays. So Jesus gets up early after quite possibly the busiest day of his life, and he goes and finds a quiet place to spend with the Father. I want to ask us in this room, what about you and I? Are we able to say, I get up early to go spend time with the Lord? Because he went there and he prayed. If we're not in that posture of getting up early to go spend time with the Lord in prayer, why is it that way? Is it because we are so sleepy, so tired, because our day was so busy yesterday? Because what happens is a lot of times we have a really busy day. We want to sleep and we want to get our rest. And then we start in our minds to think, well, I'm going to rest tomorrow morning. But in resting, then sometimes we miss the refreshment. Because when you spend time with the Lord, your soul is refreshed. If you've ever fasted, you know after day two or three, you don't even think about food. You don't need it. It's not a part. God restores your soul in the fasting process, and you just make it through without even thinking about food. It's the same thing with spending time with the King of Kings. If you're able to get up in the morning, he will refresh your soul versus giving you a little bit of rest. Look at verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. It's a very interesting sentence. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. So to say that they were with him, but they're still searching for him, that's kind of an interesting idea. If Simon wasn't with Jesus when he woke up early, where was he? Simon was sleeping. And the name Simon is an interesting, the whole Simon Peter dialogue is an interesting time. In the book of Mark, when we hear of Simon, it's almost every single time dealing with human frailty, human weakness, something with our flesh, like I need sleep, like here. But Jesus changes the name in chapter 3 from Simon to Peter. In the book of John, he changes his name from Simon to Peter in chapter 1. So it's an interesting take to have these different vantage points of the gospel. In John chapter 1, he's saying, I see the potential in you. I'm going to call you Peter. Whereas here, he just kind of does it a little bit different, saying, all right, you're Simon, and then you're going to be Peter. And why is this even important? Simon means reed. And if you think about a river or a pond or even a field where there's reeds, I always think of the little cattail. You know, when the wind blows, it's moving. If there's water around it, the water moves. Everything moves the reed. Peter means rock. The rock is solid. So Jesus changes Simon's name from Simon the reed to Peter the rock. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons for that to be important. Who else in the Bible had a name change? Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul. My wife was in first service. She said, Sarah to Sarah. Forgot about Sarah. She went in my notes. I should have consulted her. So when Simon's used, it's most of the time meaning like something weak in his flesh. He's a man. He's just this man. When Peter's used, he's talking about this is the guy that Jesus used to build the foundation, to really just build the church. Notice that Mark didn't say Peter was sleeping. He said Simon was asleep. I want to ask you a question. Has Jesus changed your name? I used to ask guys all the time, when you look in the mirror, Ben, whose eyes are looking back at you? Like, is this the guy before, or is this the guy that is born again, Bible believing, filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm looking at, like, has Jesus changed your name from whatever it used to be to what it is now? If not, why not? Why has he not changed that? Has he shaped your life? Or are you sleeping with Simon? I wasn't even going to say that, and I shouldn't say that. I don't know what video gets recorded, but are you sleeping with Simon? I almost named it that, but Pastor Nate's gone this week. I couldn't ask him. Let's look at verse 37. It says this, when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. So Simon and the other disciples are sleeping while Jesus is with the Father in private. And they finally find him and they say, everyone's looking for you. Well, ask yourself this question. Why do you think everyone was looking for Jesus? Based off what we just said, why would everyone be looking for Jesus? They were looking for Jesus for what he could do for them more than for spending time with him, for this intimate relationship with the Father. They're looking for him for what he could do. Mark 1, 21 through 28 says that he taught with authority. You think about when someone teaches with authority, it says that he cast out demons. That's pretty awesome. Verse 29 through 31, he healed his mother-in-law. That's awesome. Verse 32 through 34, which we kind of talked about, the town of Capernaum came to him after dark and he healed them and he cast out demons. Like, this happened at night. So in a night, Jesus becomes a celebrity. They're looking for him for what he could do for them. If they really wanted that intimate, quiet, private time with Jesus, they would have woke up with him. They would have woke up early. They would have spent that time with him. And oftentimes, I'm in France, we are together, we want Jesus to come where we are rather than us going where he is. So Jesus is spending time with the Father in private. Simon and the crowd want to spend time with Jesus in the public. How about you and I? How is our private time? Do you honestly even have private time? You ever just wake up and just sit and just pray and read your Bible and you just sit in the presence of God? Or are you just so tired? Just got so many things going on. I have a great job. I love it. But I describe it to my friends and family like this. It's 8 hours a day of anxiety for 8 solid hours. Like, I go to work, I'm crazy all day long. All day long I come home whew, I'm done. I get to rest. I get to focus. But the reality is, am I too tired when I wake up the next day to spend time with the King? This week, I want to encourage you guys, spend your time, spend that private time with Jesus, spend it like all of us now spend our money. You can't even go to the grocery store and buy a head of lettuce without thinking, do I really need this lettuce? Things are really hard right now. Things are difficult. Last year it was eggs. But spend your private time with Jesus like you spend the bennies, because everything costs $100 or more nowadays. What is it that you're willing to spend that money on? And what is it that you're willing to spend your private time on? Like, really contemplate your private time with God. Turn to the left in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I apologize, when I sent Tina the notes, I did not put this scripture in there. So hopefully you have a Bible or an app on your phone. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. If you've been with us for a while, you know we did a series called The Holy Habits. Talked a little bit about prayer. And then we did a whole series on praying, how to pray. So this is pulled from there. So if you look at Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 6, says this: "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the power of the evil one, for your kingdom and your glory and power forever and ever." So he's very specific about going into that private, quiet place to pray. And there's a great saying out there. I don't know who made it up. I know that I got saved in the late 90s, and I've been hearing it since then. But the saying is pretty simple: when you're tempted to go public, go private. When you're tempted to go private, go public. And what that means is, like, there's times in your life where I don't want to be around anybody. I just want to do life on my own. I just want to be that guy. No, you're tempted to do that. You need to get out in public. You need to come be around other brothers and sisters. That iron sharpens iron. It all works out. But then there's other times when you're like, look at me. Look how good I'm doing. Hey, I started a YouTube channel. Follow me. Check these things out. See? Me. Go private. And that's a true story. I did start a channel. I don't know if that's free cheddar. But go private when you're tempted to go public. Spend that time with the Lord in private, and he will reward you openly. Matter of fact, if Jesus, or if Simon, or Peter, whatever you want to call him, if Simon was with Jesus in his private time, then Simon would have known more fully what his purpose in life was, just by spending that private time with him. But Simon and the fellas, the disciples, the guys that were there, the crowd, they just wanted Jesus for what he could do. You think about going in a public place and worshiping. It's awesome. I don't know what stadium is downtown, but I've been there a couple times for different concerts, and it's awesome just being in that public place where you're just worshiping God and you're surrounded by people. You're in the public. It's happened here many times. These front rows should be full. You guys should be up here in the front, because that's where it's at. And I get goosies when I'm up there. Woohoo! The worship was so awesome. It was so cool. I'm praising the Lord. But we got to be careful when we're in church for that. We got to be careful when we go to church to feel good. We need to go where Jesus is. and not ask him to come where we are. So I just want to encourage you guys, spend private time with the Lord before you spend public time with the Lord. And he will show you your purpose in the quiet place. Look at verses 38 and 39. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. That could be the most important verse in chapter 1. He's telling them his purpose. "I've come forth to preach." Now, Mark chapter 1, verse 15 is a very important verse also. It says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe the gospel." These are all very important verses. But for me, verse 38 is so important because it says what his purpose is: to preach the gospel. Well, what are some other reasons that Jesus came? Mark chapter 2, verse 10 says he came to defeat evil. Hang on, if you've got evil in your life, Jesus came to defeat evil. He also came to forgive sin. Mark 2, 17, he came to heal the sick. Mark 10, 45, he came to serve others. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve others. He came to pay the ransom for our sin. The purpose for Jesus here is to come and to preach the gospel. And not just to preach it, but to live it. Like that is important. He knew what his purpose was. What is your purpose? I'm 51 years old, and sometimes I still wonder, what's my purpose? If Jesus needed quiet time with the Father, what about you and me? Like, he is God, but he places value on spending time with the Father. What about you and me? So I've made it a habit. I got saved in 1997, and I made it a habit about a year after I got saved to just get in this word and to just read it and to pray and to fellowship, to go. And I get up every morning, and I go on my back porch. And man, it's cool because I can see the sun coming up, and I can pray, I can read. A couple weeks ago, I had a really weird bird on my fence that was just there, and he wasn't flying away. And I'm talking to him like, "Hey, you gotta be out of here." You know, these baby birds are all talking and stuff. Like, it's a good time. I've been doing it since 1998. But am I really spending quiet time with God? When I say my job is 8 hours of anxiety, it's 8 hours of anxiety. And so in the morning, I'm like, "Okay, Lord, okay." And I start thinking about the day. Okay, I got this person. I got to have a quiet time with God. I have to dedicate that and be quiet. See, we don't go to God because we're weak. Like, we don't spend time praying to God because we're weak. We spend time praying with God because we are strong in him. We are weak without him, but when we pray, we are strong in him. And that needs to be our motivation, not because I'm weak, so I need to go see the Lord. Say, "No, I'm going to the Lord because the Lord makes me strong." Right. Yes, you are weak. We are all weak, but that's not my motivation to go see the King. I truly, honestly, with all my heart, don't care what your political persuasion is. I truly don't. I love you. I don't care. If any president of the United States walked through those doors, this place would change, regardless of what your views. It's the same thing with the Father. When you're with him, things change. You don't just, "Oh, hey, there's President Obama," or "there's President Trump," or I was from me to Tony back there one time from the Queen of England. We reenacted D-Day. It was very, very cool. I was from me to Alex to President Clinton one time. Very cool. Very crazy to be around these guys. President Bush, I got to be this close. It just does something when you're with somebody. And so when we have an opportunity to go spend time with the Lord, why wouldn't we do that? Do we make time to spend with the Lord, or do we just try to survive on our own? Last service, the idea hit me. It wasn't in my notes. I think the Lord had me share it because somebody talked to me afterwards. In the Army, I used to do scuba diving training and missions and things. And there's a time when we're training for this where there's a bunch of guys in a circle in the water, and there's a clump, and nobody knows what a clump is. It's just a thing. But everybody knows that the clump has to be a minimum of 16 pounds. And so this 16-pound clump is passed around the top of the water, and you just tread in water, and you hold the clump, and then you pass it to your buddy, and it just keeps going around. Eventually you want to die because you're just working so hard. But you know not to drop the clump, because if you drop the clump, everybody's toast. So you see your buddy struggling, and you're like, I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to hold this thing. And then next thing you know, you're going down. You're going down. You're like, whoa, no, no. And then your buddy grabs it and takes it back. How about that? That's a very similar thing with life. Man, if you try to hold on to whatever it is you're going through on your own, it's like trying to hold that clump by yourself. Man, you got to spend time with the Lord. Let him take whatever it is from you. See, Simon was with Jesus and somehow missed his purpose. That's the other part that's crazy. What about you and I? Do we know what our purpose is in life? So Simon wakes up late. He misses prayer time with Jesus. And then when he finally catches up to Jesus, what does he say? He says, hey, Jesus, come back here. Hey, the crowd, this is what the crowd's saying. And he's trying to say, we got to get it now. The crowd's on it. This is what's hot. This is what's popping. Come on, Lord, bring it back. Do we do the same thing with God? Do we wake up sleepy and then ask Jesus to join our agenda? Lord, I got this great plan. Please join me in it. Or are we actively getting up early? We're going before the King and we're presenting our ideas and we're asking him. Are we asking him to follow us, or are we asking, God, I want to follow you? Last week, Pastor Nate made a great statement. He said, spend time in the Word. You spend time in the Word, and you begin to know the voice of the Father. And then he said, tune out the enemy and tune in the voice of God. That's what the Reverend Nathaniel said last week. Get in the Word, you'll begin to recognize the voice of God. Tune out the enemy, tune in the voice of the Father, right? So you're learning how to do this. If you're not tuned in to the Word of God, if you're not spending private time with God, there's a good chance you're going to miss what your purpose in life is. Don't be like Simon. Know your purpose and stop sleeping with Simon. See, the crowd wanted Jesus for what he could do. And I want to ask you guys, what is our purpose for wanting Jesus? Everyone's looking for you. Everyone's looking for you, Lord. But were they really? See, they wanted miracles. They didn't want intimacy. They wanted the benefits. They didn't want the relationship. What does that sound like to you guys? Sounds like a 15-year-old boy trying to hook up. I want the benefits, but I don't want the relationship. I want what you can give me, but I don't want the relationship part of this. Times are tough, folks. I got to preach it like it is. These people wanted Jesus for what he could do. They weren't really interested in the intimate part of Jesus, and we got to examine our motives. Do we want Jesus to fix our life, or do we want Jesus to be our life? Because they're different. See, Jesus stayed focused on his purpose, and we got to do the same thing. Jesus refused to fall in the trap of popularity. He walked away from popularity so he could preach. I was telling Mariah earlier, I was like, it's weird in doing the Facebook, the YouTube thing, because if one person stops following me, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I say? I don't care now. I'm not there to please the crowd. I'm there to talk about Jesus. And if I talk about Jesus and I'm spending time with Jesus, then it doesn't matter if it's successful or if it fails in the eyes. I mean, whatever it looks like, it's up to him. And my question to you is this: is your purpose tied to his purpose, or are you doing your own thing? So what do we do with the scripture up to this point? I'll give you four quick things. Number one, start your day with God before you start your day with people. Set a time, set a place. I'm not going to dog my time on the back porch because that's awesome, man. I mean, sometimes I'm spaced out, but at least I'm going there. So set a time, set a place, find some scripture to get into and spend your time reading. When I first came in the Army, I was in 3rd ID. And at that time, there was a small brigade up on Kelly Hill in Fort Benning, the 3rd of the 3rd. And those jokers were tough. But we had no idea that the war was about to kick off, and we were training like crazy, and they ended up sending us from Fort Benning to Fort Stewart. It was a very long drive in Humvees, and I didn't know I was going to make it. It's only like a 2-hour trip, but we got there, and I'm in a room probably about the size of, from half the sanctuary over. It's about 100 guys sleeping at night, just snoring, stinking, and you got guards walking around and stuff. And I remember I was there. I was a brand new Christian, brand new dad, brand new soldier. And I'm laying there in my sleeping bag because it was cold. We didn't have heat. And I unzip it. And I reach out and I find my rucksack and I'm digging. And I grab my Bible, pull that thing in the sleeping bag with me. I zip it back up, pull out my green elbow flashlight because we didn't have the headlamps then. And I just remember just reading and just spending time with the Lord. And I'm not saying that to be legalistic or anything. I'm just saying it has to be a priority. It has to be something in your life where you know that time with the Lord is valuable. So set a plan, set a time, set some scripture, and protect that time. Make it a priority. So start your day with the Lord before you start with people. Number two, ask yourself, am I Simon or am I Peter? Ask the Spirit to begin revealing to you, Lord, where am I spiritually sleepy? Like, where is it that I'm just kind of sleepy? I see my brother yawning back there too. Where am I sleepy right now? Because God's going to show you in that moment, hey, this is some areas maybe you're a little sleepy. Maybe you're resisting change. Maybe I'm trying to get your attention, brother, but you're just not hearing it. And then ask the Lord, God, make me into who you want me to be. Make me Peter. I don't want to be Simon anymore. I want to be Peter. Jacob's the craziest name change. It was treacherous. It was the heel grabber, the supplanter, the tricky. He was a very tricky guy. But God changed his name from trickster to the guy that wrestles with God and God prevails. I don't even want to wrestle with you guys. Like, I'm getting kind of old and weak, but can you imagine wrestling with God and then God winning? But I want that to be my life. I want to get up and I want to wake up early in the morning. I want to wrestle with him as he's trying to change my name from whatever it was that I used to be to whatever it is that he wants me to be. It's relationship with God. Stop seeking him, number three. Stop seeking him for what he does and start seeking him for who he is. This week, be deliberate in your prayers. Pray less prayers of asking God for things and more prayers of surrender, more prayers of worship, more prayers of gratitude, and then more prayers, this is the craziest one, more prayers of just listening. Because sometimes you can pray and listen. Stop seeking him for what he does and start seeking him for who he is. Number four, find out what you're called to do. Be deliberate this week. Ask God to show you what is your purpose. God, what have you called me to do? What have you called me from? And where are you calling me to? And what do I have to let go of? Because I'm holding on sometimes to things that I don't need to be holding on to. I need to let that stuff go. How can I obey you? How can I stop doing those things that come between me and you, and I just want to be used by you? Jesus walked away from the crowd, and he walked to the calling. They're very different. Where are you called? What is it that you're called to do right now? If you don't spend time with Jesus in the quiet, chances are you're probably going to miss whatever that calling is. I've done a lot of cool things in life, but I don't know if they're all from the Lord. So listen, this week, I want you to take 15 minutes with the Lord, hopefully 15 minutes a day, but if you can only do 15 minutes for the whole week, that works. But 5 minutes of those 15 are going to be just spent reading. Just find some. God, show me what to read. If you need to read Mark chapter 1 and then Mark chapter, whatever, spend 5 whole minutes reading this word. Because as you're reading the word's reading you. It's telling you things. And then spend 5 minutes verbally praying out loud. Just think about a relationship with somebody in this room where you just didn't talk. A lot of times that's what our relationship with God is. We don't talk. So 5 minutes reading your Bible, 5 minutes praying something out loud, and then this is the hard part, especially for the type A's and the ADHDs and all the guys like me. It's really hard to just sit for 5 minutes. So get in the Word for 5 minutes. Get into a conversation with the Lord for 5 minutes, and then just sit and just wait on the Lord. See, men have been meeting with God early all along. Abraham got up early. Jacob got up early. Moses got up early. Joshua, they record 3 times in the book of Joshua, him getting up early. David got up early. But here's one that I want to talk to the dads. Like, you dads out here, listen very, very closely. One of the most important reasons that you can get up early is found in Job chapter 1, verse 5. Job got up and prayed for his kids. If by the chance, the small chance that my kid has sinned, God, please forgive them. God, help them. Spend time with the Lord like you would with your commander, you military guys. Nobody just goes in to see their commander and make sure your gig line's good. You got to make sure everything's ready. You're not just going to show up. The commander's going to ask you some questions. You need to be prepared. You can't just walk into a military commander. You got to be ready. Only thing is, sometimes the roles are flip-flopped. The commander is not asking me questions. I'm asking him questions. And then I got a 3x5 card. Take those with you guys. Take them everywhere. Write your notes down. Stick with it. See, God's been waking up with men early for thousands of years. He wants to wake up with you. He wants to wake up early with you and spend time with him. Look, don't be lazy and don't be scared. This might be the last time I ever get to preach here. Look, ask God one question every morning. Father, what's your purpose for me today? Write that thing down. God, am I obeying this thing at the end of the week? God, am I Simon or am I Peter? Lord, where am I? Start working with me. I want to call the worship team up. I'm going to try and land this thing as quickly as I can. Look, this week, I'm going to be praying for you. This is a tough time. If you never had anybody stand up there and say, get alone with the Lord. I'm telling you, get alone with him. He's coming back soon. You got to know his word. You got to know when the thoughts that hit your head are your thoughts, or when those thoughts that hit your head are the enemy's thoughts, or when those thoughts that hit your head is the crowd. The crowd's going this direction, or when it's the Holy Spirit saying, this is it. And I love that Kelly started this thing off this morning with abide in Christ, John 15. You got to get in that quiet time with the Lord. You got to spend it with him. Simon confused his purpose. I'm praying that we don't confuse our purpose. We need to be praying for our husbands. We need to be praying for our wives. We need to be praying for our kids. little, big. We need to be praying for our bosses. We need to be praying for our politicians. We need to be praying for everybody, guys.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Awaken Church. We'd love to hear how this message or the ministry of Awaken has impacted your life. Let us know at awaken.church/my story.